This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Yesterday, 106 yards on the ground on 27 carries, 110 on 24 if you take away the Mason Rudolph kneel downs at the end of the game. Nonetheless, there were questions about the run game.
And Mike said it's not going to change overnight. Just your impressions of the progression of the run game today.
We'll be just fine. Not worried about it.
We'll be just fine, Jeff. Our very own Jeff Hathorn checking in now after asking what I thought was an excellent question there about the run game. Continuing to move forward. So, but Ben does not have time for your nonsense, Jeffrey.
No, he doesn't. You know, it's funny. little insight into how we do these Zoom calls now is that you kind of sit there and you wait for yourself to be called. And inevitably, if you get called later in the news conference, which I was in that instance, all of your questions get taken. So as you're having them checked off, you're sitting there thinking, okay, what am I going to ask? And then your name gets called and you're like, so how about that sunshine today? You kind of run out of things to ask.
People are going to get on us because it's the storyline that won't die. And Mike Tomlin got on it yesterday. You guys can keep talking about it if you want, but we're not going to crack that nut with the first swing and all that. But it is, you know, that there's still not a large amount of confidence in that run game, I'm not guessing.
No, there's not with the fan base. I think there's more. Obviously a lot more with the team. And I mean, you could tell, I mean, they were rotating different guys in. I mean, they're working on things and Tomlin even admitted it. Now that being said, they're a great football team. And it's funny, of all the people, I'm enjoying every game, maybe as much, if not more than anyone, because during a pandemic year, you don't know when your next game is going to be. So, you know, this has been a lot of fun. They're going to figure out some of the running game. They're never going to be a running team like Tennessee or Baltimore or even Cleveland, but still pretty darn good.
You know, Jeff, I thought, you know, it was good to see McFarland in there, but I don't know if he gets it. And Charles Davis made the comment, like, they put him in there at the beginning of the third quarter. They tried one of the gadget plays with McLeod, lost a couple yards. So second and 12, here's Anthony McFarland. And he just ran right into the line. And Charles Davis said, well, where was he going to go? As he said that, and they showed the replay, they actually showed that if he made a decisive read to between Villanueva and Filer, there was a crease there. I don't know how far he would have gotten, but it's like, I don't know, it's like he's not aware of what he needs to look for. He always stops and hesitates and stutter steps, and a lot of times doesn't go anywhere. What do you make of him so far?
Well, he's still young, and I think in college, a lot of times you can get away with that because your speed, even at a Big Ten level, can make up for indecision or bad decisions at the line of scrimmage. You know, I'm sure there were times at Maryland where he stutter-stepped at the line and was still able to get to the outside and make a big play. He'll learn that. So I'm not too worried about McFarland, except I don't want McFarland in there. Like, Connor was running just fine. I didn't understand why Benny went in there. I didn't understand why McFarland, you know, unless they're just trying to save him for Thursday night, which I guess that would be a legitimate reason. Of course, they tell us they don't live in their fears, so I'm not sure which it is.
Well, it did strike me too, Jeff, that there were a couple instances where they didn't get anything on first down, whether it was an incomplete pass or a run that went nowhere, and they're at second and long now, and they're trying to stay ahead of the sticks, as they would put it, and they run the ball again. in that instance. The play calling and the sequencing is something I've complained about before, but there were instances yesterday where I thought it was just odd, some of the play calls that we saw.
Yeah, I thought at times that they were trying too hard to get the run game going and not just worried about getting a win. And that was a fear of mine heading into the game, is that they were going to scrap the game plan just to prove something. They ended up going to what they do best. And, man, Roethlisberger made some throws. And, of course, that defense made a couple of timely plays, which turned that game around.
Jeff, which Deontay Johnson catch did you think was better? I talked about this earlier. The one where he laid out the 20-yard layout, or the one that he got down at the one-yard line when he had to – you know, he got it to it first, but then had to kind of take the ball away from the defender. They were both spectacular in different ways.
Yeah, the 20-yarder was amazing because he kind of made his turn. And if you can imagine, you're kind of running and you turn, and all of a sudden the ball's right there. You know, when you're playing backyard football, you can see normally the ball coming the entire way. No one in backyard football is going to throw before you break. So that's impressive in that regard. But the concentration you need at the goal line, that's the catch to me, because the other variable in that play is, you know, you're right by the sidelines. So you've got to kind of make sure your body's in the right spot while you're looking for the football. And you've got a guy that's fighting you for it. So that was pretty impressive for, you know, a Mac guy.
93.7 The Fan sports director and one of our reporters covering the Steelers on a daily basis, Jeff Hathorn, with us here on the Fan Morning Show. You know, there's a lot of talk. I see they're talking about it on ESPN and NFL Network this morning, the offenses in the Kansas City-Vegas game. But to me, the most impressive part, and I understand it was against Jacksonville, but it's still four turnovers. Even against Jake Luton, it's still, when the ball is up in the air, making a play on it, like Minka Fitzpatrick almost always does. It's Terrell Edmonds getting a couple of picks, of all people. And then I saw what the Colts did to the Packers as well, even though it took overtime. And to me, the two of the more impressive teams right now in the AFC, not to take anything away from the Chiefs, Jeff, but two of the more impressive teams are the teams with the better defenses in Pittsburgh and Indianapolis.
I love what the Steelers defense does. I mean, you know, anytime they give up any yards, we're in that point now where people are so worried about the standings and perfect record that every little mistake, and I'm sure there are people just freaking out on that first drive, but they make plays. They get consistent pressure, which I think leads to a lot of what we've seen with these turnovers. But for Tyson to put his big paw up against his old team, and I mean, that's just a huge play. I love the way the defense finds a way to get things done. Will there be a game where they might not? Sure. But even that Ravens game, I mean, they were giving up tons of yards, but they found a way to make a couple of key picks, one early and then one to start the second half. So, yeah, I mean, they respond. They've told us last week to a man how much they enjoy playing with each other, and they are focused from the beginning of the season towards this goal, and everybody's on the same page. And we often talk about the receivers being unselfish. I think you're seeing that defensively as well. You don't see a lot of guys worried about stats. They're just trying to stack wins.
You know, Jeff, funny you mentioned the stats, because I was just looking at this, and I'm thinking maybe the coaches will go through the video and that they'll adjust the statistics to reflect what players did. I thought Bud Dupree was great yesterday. I know he dropped, he could have been in a pick six. But other than that, you know, he got one of the sacks. He was all over the quarterback. And yet, if you look at the stat sheet, he's credited with three tackles, two solos, and an assist. Of course, there's the sack. There's one other tackle for loss. They said he pressured the quarterback twice. I guess that's a quarterback hit. And he had the pass defense that he dropped. It could have been an interception for a touchdown. But I thought he was all over the place yesterday, and the stats don't really reflect that.
Yeah, I thought Dupree was good. I mean, I thought as a whole, there really wasn't a weakness. Did they give up a couple of chunk plays, you know, chunk passing plays? Nelson was in on one. I think Edmonds was another that where there was a guy vacated that was open. But, you know, as a whole, Dupree is one. But I thought Vince Williams was solid, and he didn't have a ton of tackles, but he seemed to be in the right place at the right time. The D-line – you know, they didn't have to bring a lot of blitzes, and they got pressure yesterday, and that was impressive.
Jeff Hathorn with us here on the Fan Morning Show, talking the Steelers' 27-3 win over the Jaguars down in Jacksonville. And that's what I think has been lost, because they played Jacksonville and Cincinnati the last 2 weeks, and because they took a while to find some traction, well, not traction, but to put away the Cowboys. They've played two of their more complete games of the year in the last 2 weeks. People always talk about, well, are you going to peak at the wrong time? Are you going to peak too early? All this nonsense. But people were saying they hadn't played anybody early on, and then they were saying they hadn't played a complete game. And now here we are going into Thanksgiving night against the Ravens, Jeff, and they've beaten some really good teams in Tennessee and Baltimore, and now they've put away the teams that you're supposed to put away in Cincy and Jacksonville.
Yeah, and now they're going to get a buzzsaw coming in. This is going to be a real interesting test of this Ravens team this year, because a Ravens loss, and they have no chance of, I'm sure you guys have mentioned it, they have no chance to win the AFC North. I mean, it's critical time for Baltimore, and they've had a couple of games. You know, at New England, there's a lot of rain. You can make excuses, whatever. But to have Derrick Henry again make a play against you after he ran all over you in the postseason, and then coach not shaking hands, there's guys stamping on your, you know, stomping on your logo. I mean, this is going to – I'm really curious to see how Baltimore reacts to this game. You know, the Steelers obviously want to improve the rush defense from the first time around. But, man, this is going to be fun on Thanksgiving night. And you don't have to get up early.
You think Juju's going to be okay?
That's right.
I do. I think he'll fight through it. It's disturbing watching. You know, you knew he was hurt, and then to see that ankle roll on the flag, which of all things, you know, what are the chances that something like that happens? Now, what was it Tomlin said that there was an opportunity of maybe if it was a tight game that he could have gone back in, but it's a short week to recover, and if they don't have Juju for this one, that's going to be problematic, I think, for the offense.
Yeah, I think part of the spoils of starting 10-0, Jeff, is that if you do that and you do have a little bit of a cushion, you're not going to willingly sit people out who are totally healthy. But if a guy isn't totally healthy, and you have as many weapons as they have, I wouldn't have a problem at all if Juju's only 70-75% saying, "Hey, take it, take the long the sort of mini bye after the Thanksgiving game and get yourself right for the final stretch running into the playoffs."
I would agree that this isn't a playoff game, and while if he is ready to play, he absolutely goes out there because it's a division game. You want to win it. You want to keep the momentum. You've got a long weekend, so there is time to rest if he can get through the game. But if there is any question, yeah, I'm with you in that regard, and there is depth on that team. It'll be an opportunity for somebody, and, man, we mock the Tomlin sayings. But he has, since the beginning of his time with the Steelers, used that next man up. And whether there's some psychology, I'm sure there is. I mean, these guys believe it. You see guys go out and guys step in, and it's been pretty amazing what they've done this year, given all of the obstacles that they've had to overcome. Every team has obstacles, but no one has done it better than the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Our very own Jeff Hathorn. Great stuff, Jeff. Appreciate all the hard work you and Jim have been doing on the Zoom calls. We know it's not easy, but some of the stuff you've gotten has been great, even when Ben has been snippy with you. We appreciate you taking the bullets so we don't have to.
That's the best
we'll
part.
Catch up. Yes. We'll catch up again later in the week. And if we don't get a chance to speak directly, happy Thanksgiving, man. Enjoy the holiday as best you can.
Same to you, Chris. Jim, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah, on a Zoom.
Yes.
Zoom, 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 and a boom, boom. Jeff Hathorn, our 93.7 The Fan Sports Director, covering the Steelers alongside our very own Jim Colony.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.